Blog Talk Radio.
President and the former governor go at it. So we're all excited to see that debate. So this is a nice warm-up. And it's rare that our debate actually takes the backstage. So I think we have the best debates you will find anywhere at any time. To me, Commissioner T, I'm one of the hosts here of the Madden Voice. But you know, I don't do this alone. Although I do it alone on Friday, but you know, I count it. It's still a show, but it's a daytime. It's a little special, and I want to thank the people. I mean, we actually get a pretty good audience during the day there. So for those of you who've tuned in during the day, thank you. For those of you tuning in tonight, thank you. And for those of you who tune in on all the Madden Voices, we thank you. But as I was saying, I do not do this alone. I have two co-hosts. We know this guy as the EAFL Super Bowl I winner. A man who has obtained his PhD, and a man whose Chicago Bears are sitting all alone in the NFC North in first place, and it is the one and only Dr. Train. Welcome to the Madden Voice.
What up, T? How you doing this evening?
I'm doing. You know what I'm saying? I'm doing. Got a lot on my mind, you know. Wasn't the best Sunday for us Cowboys, you know. But I'm here. I'm here. You know, but we also have with us a guy who's clearly got a lot on his mind. You know, his team about as good as my team, to be honest with you. And, you know, this guy here, one of the best Madden players in the world. You know, if you get your Madden on and you're looking for some help, this is the guy that'll do it. I ain't going to do it for free. I mean, that's what he does. I mean, you're gonna have to throw him a little change, but you know, he'll hook you up a little something on Madden, make you competitive. You know, the thing about Madden is as much of a worldwide game as it is. It's also that neighborhood game. It's also that game bragging rights, right? You know, you and your boys over, you get on the big TV, and I can take you down, You hook up with this dude, man. You probably have very empty days because they ain't gonna play you no more. But we know him as Ali Quick, but you know him as K-Star. K-Star, welcome to the Madden Voice.
What up, fellas? Glad
what
to
up,
be here.
Yeah.
Even after last Thursday night, I'm still happy to be here.
Yeah.
I'm glad to see you both still alive after this weekend football.
ain't got no choice, man. I mean, you know, what are you gonna do? You know, ain't got no choice. We five, six games into the season, depending on what team has played what games and what buys, and you know, it is what it is. And you just try to keep hope alive, as Jesse Jackson says, and you try to look for optimism. I can't find a lot. But, you know, you try to look for optimism. And, you know, for some of the teams that are playing really well, You know, your Bears are certainly coming off a bye and sitting pretty. You know, I mean, it's nice to sit home. And you come, you know, you sit home for a week and you come back and look at the standings. And now you're all alone in first place. It's a beautiful thing, you know. And some of us have watched our teams go from first to worst in the division. You know, so I mean, there's a lot to talk about tonight. There's a lot to talk about tonight. And we're going to try to, for those of you who are out there listening, and if you want to call in, you know the number, 347-838-9525. That's 347-838-9525. Call into the Madden Voice. You can send us a tweet. Go right on Twitter and just look up the Madden Voice and send us a tweet. And if you do, hashtag TMV. I like checking out what people are saying out there about the Madden Voice. So go ahead and use hashtag TMV for the Madden Voice. And we're going to end the show probably between 8:30 and 8:45 so we can all get settled in for what should be a very good presidential debate. You know, I'm not going to talk politics on this show. This is a football show. All I would say is, if you don't exercise your right to vote, then you don't have a right to complain. You know what I'm saying? So I don't care. Well, I mean, I do care, but it's none of my business who you vote for, and it's none of my business your political affiliation. But if you don't go out there and vote, and then you say you're unhappy, well, shut your mouth, because your voice is your vote. And if you don't go down and take 15 minutes to fill in them little circles, then I don't want to hear you complaining about the economy, about jobs, about the housing market. I don't want to hear you complaining about gas prices or nothing. I don't want to hear it. Don't complain. You've decided to sit home and do nothing and let other people decide who's going to represent you, and you're not even taking a chance, taking the time to let your voice be heard. It's disgusting. It's ridiculous. Everybody should be out there and vote. Everybody. So get on out there, cast your vote, and I'll let your voice be heard. On that note, let's jump into the show. We're going to jump right into our segments, and we're going to start off with Dr. Train. Dr. Train, and it's going to be, if you notice, if you look at the agenda, it's a very quarterback-focused agenda tonight, and it just kind of rolled that way. So we're going to talk a lot about quarterbacks because we can see the league shaping, and the shape of the league really is heavy, heavy, dependent on quarterback play this year, and Train's got some thoughts on that. So we have Dr. Train's philosophy.
Ooh, this has got to be the best thing of the show. If it isn't, it should be. But
wait. Did you say best segment of the show? Wait, hold on.
Yeah.
Blow it out your ass.
All right, go ahead.
Another week of Dr. Train's philosophy, and I chose to focus on our rookie QB class and the fact that they are making a significant contribution this season. I mean, every team, you know, when they hit the bottom of the barrel, when they finish last in the previous season, they're always looking for that missing piece. And for a lot of those teams, it is the quarterback. And he doesn't have to be, you know, it doesn't have to be the Tom Brady's or the Peyton Manning's or the Drew Brees of the league. You know, he's just got to at least be able to manage the game. But these guys that have been drafted this year, starting with Andrew Luck, second was RG3, then you had Tannehill, and then there's Whedon, then there's the sleeper, Wilson. All these guys have been drafted. They started from the beginning of the season, and they are actually making significant contributions to their teams for the teams to achieve, for at least to be competitive. Even if they don't have winning records right now, they're making their team as competitive as they possibly can. Now, the cream of that crop right now seems to be your man RG3, because he's the way he's playing is dynamic. It's fun to watch. He's putting pressure on defenses with the way he plays. I would say next in line, you got to go with Wilson. I mean, the Seahawks are winning. Who's that coach there? Coach.
Pete Carroll.
Pete Carroll. I mean, he made a bold decision to go with, you know, the rookie over the quarterback that they paid over Matt Flynn. And his decision seems to be paying off, with the Seahawks sitting at 4-2 with wins over Dallas, with wins over just recently over the Patriots. Dude, that's huge. Regardless of how you look at it, that's huge. Then you have Andrew Luck, who's really giving the Colts a fighting chance to win. I mean, with a big win over Green Bay last week, I think that was huge. Now, they did get stumped this week, but, hey, Andrew Luck is still playing good football. You have Tannehill down in Miami, and really, Miami might not be in the upper half of the league, but kind of you don't know what to expect from them week to week. I mean, it really does depend on how well Tannehill plays without having the targets that some of these other rookie quarterbacks do have to throw to. And then, of course, bottom there, you got Tannehill. I know the Browns, I mean, they need some help everywhere, but still you can't overlook that Tannehill is actually producing somewhat down there in Cleveland, along with the help of Trent Richardson. He really does need somebody to throw the ball to. They really are hurting as far as their receiving core. But besides all that, it's just fun. I mean, it's fun to watch, but it's just good to see that a rookie class come in. I mean, you're talking about five quarterbacks, and they're actually producing. And each week, you kind of almost don't even know what to expect from them.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Pick one. Rookie QB, pick one.
Rookie QB?
Yeah, pick one.
RG3.
Now, let me ask you guys a question. Let me ask you
what?
One. If you had to pick one to play on
for
your
this
team,
year or
right now, if you had to pick one rookie QB right now to play on your team, Ben's done. Ben's gone. Ben broke his leg. Okay. And you have a chance to take any of the rookies. Who would you take?
I would personally take Andrew Luck, although it's tough because RG3 is so dynamic of a player. I mean, you're really splitting hairs between RG3 and Andrew Luck.
No, you're not splitting hairs. RG3 is outplaying Luck right now. Luck's playing good. RG3's playing great. This is what I don't understand. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, no, I'm not. Have you seen the Colts offensive line compared to the Redskins? Have you seen the Colts offensive line compared to the Redskins?
The Redskins were pitiful last year.
I don't care. The Colts were pitiful last year.
Wait a minute. Luck is taking a team that a year before went to the playoffs. What are you talking about?
This is not the same team. Look at the roster. It's completely different.
This goes back to what I always say, and I'm going to say it till somebody out there hears me. It is clear cut right now. If you look at all the rookies, who's playing the best? And it's RG3, period. The guy's throwing damn near 70%, and he's running over 138 yards rushing against the Vikings? This is a team that just beat the 49ers? This is a team that was like, wait a minute, they got a defense again? And this guy just shredded them. Right now, he's playing the best, and yet I'm still hearing Andrew Luck.
No one's. Oh, yeah, because the question is, who would you rather have? I mean, when you ask me that, I assume – but you mean going forward for the rest of their careers, right? Is that what you mean? Or you mean,
I'll ask it differently.
I mean, if you're asking who's playing better right now, it's obviously RG3, right? Of course.
Absolutely.
No one's disputing that.
Absolutely. Well, and I think – and I understand the Colts thought that Luck would fit their system better than RG3, but, you know, I got to tell you, that aside, if that was their decision, I respect it. But, you know, this guy is, I mean, he scares the heck out of me. He scares the living heck out of me. Michael Vick on his best day, can't throw the ball like this guy. And RG3 can move just as good as Vick. I think probably faster than Vick, because RG3 is a world-class sprinter. Okay? So, and we know Michael Vick is fast, but RG3 is a world-class sprinter. I'm talking about professional, like, high hurdler. I ran the hurdles back in my day. I know what it takes, and I know what it's time for. World-class sprinter, okay? World-class. What you laughing at, man? I was a pretty damn good sprinter, too. What you talking about, man? Don't be sitting back there laughing about me. What?
That would have been a sight to see. But I didn't know you until, I don't know, it was like just maybe like 2005.
Back in my day, I was a bad man, okay? Every race, mile down, I ran and I won. I was a bad man back in my day. Don't question Commissioner T. But all I'm saying is, I think that our, you know, and I got no love for the Redskins, okay? None. But my, I cannot deny what my eyes are seeing with this kid. I can't deny it. I mean, he is separating himself from this field as we speak. Now, of course, luck comes in with, you know, a high pedigree and a lot of talent and a lot of potential, and we'll see what happens throughout the year. But right now, RG3's it. He is the cream of the crop. And you know, in some respects, I get the Colts were looking for a guy to fit their system, and I get it. But, man, RG3 should have at least had the honor at the level he's playing at being a top pick. That's all I'm saying.
The Colts tried to send an invite to him. I don't know if you remember this or not. To work out, he actually declined it. He didn't even respond.
Yeah, I heard that.
I mean, he did decline it. I do remember that.
Yeah, I heard that too.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Yeah, I heard that too. But I'm just saying, at the level that he's playing at, you know, he should have been the first pick. And now my fear is that, you know, where are we going to be sitting with this guy a year from now? You know, I mean, we were sitting here last year and we were oohing and aahing over Cam Newton. And, oh, my God, look at the throw he's making, and he can't be stopped and this, that, and the other. And a year later we're sitting there saying, where are you, Cam? Where are you at? And, you know, Cowboys get to see Cam on Sunday, so we'll see what happens. But I'm just wondering, you know, are we going to be sitting here a year from now, sitting right here on this very show saying, what happened to RG3? I don't know. I don't think so. But
and see, I'm hoping that that's not the case. I'm hoping he doesn't fall into that sophomore spot. I mean, we got a long ways before that time comes. I mean, he is under Mike Shanahan, who's, you know, I think Mike Shanahan's record speaks for itself with what he can do with quarterbacks of RG3's talent. But you know, once the league gets film on you, once teams have film on you, that's a totally it's a whole other different game. You got to take it up another notch.
And Trey, that's the key right there. You know, as teams begin to study and plan defenses around you, and this guy, you know, the Redskins haven't played the NFC East yet. You know, and we're talking three teams that have pretty good defenses. We already know what the Giants can do. The Eagles finally got rid of Castillo today. So I think we're going to see their defense step back up. And the Cowboys' defense has been playing, you know, pretty good ball. I mean, the record may not show it, but statistically, you know, their defense has been playing pretty solid ball this year. So, I mean, it's going to be very interesting to see when they get into their division games. And I know the Redskins have the Giants on Sunday, and we're going to talk about that. But that's really, to me, is where Griffin's going to have to really show that he's special. Because now all these teams got at least five, six games to study this kid and see what his tendencies are, and it'll be interesting. But I'll tell you, right now, he scares me. I mean, I don't want to play the
Redskins. He's pretty dangerous. I mean, the one thing I see that kind of separates himself maybe from Vic and Cam Newton a bit is his presence in the pocket. His ability to make all his throws from the pocket.
Well, see, I thought Cam showed that last year, though. I thought last year Cam showed that he could make all the throws, and when he stood tall in the pocket, I mean, the dude's 6'6", okay? So when he stood tall in the pocket, man, I mean, he was impressing me with his throws and his accuracy last year. not as much this year so far, but last year I was in that, so I don't know. Question I have, you know, I'm going to ask K-Star this, because K-Star kind of led this conversation and we kind of agreed. But I don't know, man. Maybe we were wrong. You know, it happens. But Russell Wilson, I mean, we were calling for his head. Your exact words were, experiment is over. And I can't put it all on you because I agreed. But now this guy, you know, now granted it was at home, and we know that home field advantage is huge. But this guy has beaten Aaron Rodgers. This guy has beaten Tony Romo. This guy has beaten your Hall of Famer, Cam Newton. And now he beats Tom Brady. Pretty good group of quarterbacks. I mean, were we wrong, K-Star?
It's possible, but it's unlikely. He had a very good game against the Patriots. Don't get me wrong. Those are the very first signs of life we saw from the Seattle Seahawks passing game all year. You know, he's been a part of those wins, but, I mean, honestly, he took a back seat in the Dallas game, in the Panthers game, in the Packers game, if you really want to call that a win. I mean, so the jury's still out. We don't know really what he is yet, but what I can tell you is, from this sample size that we do have, you look at one explosive passing game, a passing day, compared to the average games. Now, part of that could be a play calling. Maybe they're opening it up more. Maybe they trust him more. But I'm still a little skeptical. Not that I don't believe in his talent, because I certainly do. But if they do find themselves at a point in the season, which is very possible because it's rookie quarterback, which means it's going to be up and down play, where Russell Wilson is possibly holding this team back, they're still not away from, they're still not, you know, a sound of making a quarterback change. Nothing's been validated. What Pete Carroll did to make him starter, I don't believe it's still been validated. I believe that Russell Wilson has kept his head above water and played by far and away his best game against New England. But I don't think that just cements him either way as starter for the rest of the season, because, again, if they face any kind of turmoil, they're going to look at the lackluster pass attack, especially with that investment.
Well, let me make sure I understand what you're saying. You're saying that up to this point that Pete Carroll's decision hasn't been vindicated?
I don't believe it has.
4-2? That's 4-2.
Absolutely. But, again, we're splitting hairs here with Russell Wilson. I mean, honestly, they could be 3-3. They could, but they're not, granted. But, again, how much of this is really of Russell Wilson? How much more is it more of him kind of playing caretaker with the ball? Again, he probably had a very good game.
You got to be fair now. I mean, you can't sit here. We've identified that quarterbacks get too much credit and too much blame, okay? And if they were 2-4, I mean, we were just saying the experiment is over. Okay, now I mean, and now it's four. He's 4-2. I mean, that's his record as a starter with a team that over the last several years has struggled. And so, you know, at this point, and he has led the team that has played some of the best quarterbacks. I mean, he beat Aaron. You know, they beat Aaron Rodgers. I get it, controversy. I get it. But you know what? The Packers didn't go in there and do to Seattle what they did to Houston. Okay, so some of this has to fall on the Packers for not going in there and taking care of business and letting it come down to a last-second play. I agree, it was a shitty call. I agree, okay? But if you're the Green Bay Packers MVP Aaron Rodgers, you don't let that happen. You go and do what you did to Houston. That's what you go in there and do. There's no dispute. There ain't no chance of that happening. And that didn't happen, you know, and he did enough to you know, get a win, you know? And so, all I'm saying is I don't know how the rest of the season is going to play out, but I got, you know, I think we got to get his guys, too. He's 4-2. He's
and
good
QBs. I think you're kind of echoing the same sentiment. I guess I'm just being a little bit more critical, only because I do think that, again, hypothetical, if the Seahawks find themselves in a position in which they start dropping a couple of games or their pass game's ineffective, I don't think Russell Wilson is necessarily, you know, out from the deep end yet. I mean, I do think they will be kind of trigger happy to put Maslin in if they do begin to struggle. I mean, these next four games, ultimately, I think will tell the tale of the rest of the season if Russell Wilson will remain the starter. Right now, it looks like clearly that he will be. But I am simply saying that the situation is a little different considering he's a rookie on a very good team around him with an investment they made in the offseason for a quarterback who they thought was going to be their guy. I'm just saying the circumstances are a little different. If he does struggle, I don't think necessarily that they will just stick with Russell Wilson because he had a good start to the season, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. I mean, I will say this. I will have to agree with you on the sense that, you know, him starting, his reason for starting Russell Wilson has been validated. They're 4-2. They're ahead of the heavily favored 49ers for the division. And, of course, they played this weekend. And I don't, you know, we had an argument, you know, we had a debate last week about how much a quarterback needs to do for a team to win. And, you know, because of that defense, because of that run game, Wilson doesn't have to be Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers or Drew Brees for his team. He needs to take care of the football and continue to do what he does at the position, you know, and not make any mistakes and make the plays when it's time to make the plays. It's as simple as that. I mean, it's the same thing Alex Smith was doing. He was making the plays when he needed to make the plays. So, I mean, the only thing that exists is the unknown of what would it be like if Matt Flynn had started. But you can't argue with the results that you have with Wilson that started. They're 4-2. They're second in division, just behind Arizona. I mean, they're doing well. I mean,
let me just say this. Let's not forget that the guy that they signed in the offseason has started exactly one NFL game, which was a meaningless game. Granted, he threw 6 touchdown passes in a meaningless game, okay? So let's not act like, you know, it's Peyton Manning sitting back there or somebody. This guy played one – he started one game. And so, yeah, he got the big contract, and when they signed him – you know, they thought, hey, he was one of the best free agents available, young, you know, and they thought, okay, we're going to make an investment. But they also knew enough to go out and say, let's check the draft out and see what we can find. You know, there was enough unknown questions for them to say, we need to go get somebody else, which is why I criticized the Redskins when they went and got Cousins in the fourth round. I said, what are you doing? You know what I mean? That's why I criticized them, because you just picked up your franchise quarterback, and now you're bringing in somebody in the fourth round. What's your problem, okay? But they signed a free agent who played one game, and they said, we need to go get somebody. So I think this guy, I mean, unless he has a major collapse with that defense and that running game and him doing what needs to be done to win those games, I think it's his job. And I think Matt Flynn's going to have to make some decisions soon, you know, as far as what he wants.
It's definitely his job to lose. I'll say that.
I'm going to jump K-Star. K-Star, you'll go last, because since we're talking QBs and my T-Bonics was going to be about QBs, so we might as well keep it on point. I am not going to publish this T-Bonics. I just want to talk off the cuff for a minute. So there will not be a simulcast of this T-Bonics. But, you know, as we talk about quarterbacks, we talked about quarterbacks last week, and I was watching quarterbacks this week, watching the play, and I started thinking about, of course, I'm always thinking about Tony Romo, and I'm always wondering, what's Tony Romo doing? And I'm always wondering, like, did he watch Peyton Manning? You know, did he watch Aaron Rodgers? I mean, probably not, because it was right after their game, so he probably didn't get to watch. But, you know, I always wonder, and what is he thinking when he looks at these guys, when he looks at these quarterbacks, when he looks at Tom Brady, who threw 58 passes for almost 400 yards in a losing effort in Seattle. You know, I always wonder, what are our quarterbacks doing? Because I'm going to tell you something. There are four quarterbacks in the NFL right now. In my opinion, there's only four. And I could maybe be talked into a fifth, but it would take a long talk. But I'm going to tell you who the four are, and I'm sure you guys already know. Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, and Peyton Manning. And, yeah, he's back. Okay? And when I say there's only four, these guys are so good. They are the equivalent of Ray Lewis on offense. And we're going to talk about Ray Lewis and his unfortunate injury. But they are the equivalent. Ray Lewis gets his defense going, and then the offense wakes up, right? Well, that's what these guys do on offense. They get their team rolling, and then the defense wakes up and says, we need to get a stop and get our offense back out there, because we know they're going to score. We know Brady. We know Rodgers. We know these guys are going to do it for us. I'm telling you, if you guys saw me on Twitter last night, I saw something in Peyton Manning's eye. I saw it, and I said on Twitter at halftime, it ain't over. And one of my followers said, oh, it's all done. I said, no, it's not over. I saw something. Peyton Manning saw something, and he said, I got this. We got to make an adjustment. And they went in halftime, and I don't know what they said. I don't know what they did, okay? But clearly, that team came out in the second half a completely different team, and it was 100% spurred on by the play of Peyton Manning. And we saw the Chargers collapse, 100% collapse, because Philip Rivers had no response. Philip Rivers is not on the level of a Peyton Manning or a Brady or a Brees or a Rodgers. Dare I say, there are no other quarterbacks. The only guy that I would even maybe throw in there, and that's right, I'm going to say it, is maybe Big Ben. Maybe. Okay, I could be talked into Big Ben, two Super Bowl rings. He's a beast. Maybe he's the fifth one. Maybe. Okay? But those four, clearly, they do enough to make the defense relevant. They do enough where the defense feels like, if I get a stop, the offense has my back. And I'm telling quarterbacks out there, and I'm talking to you, Tony, you're not there yet, bro. You're getting there, and I hope to see you there, but you're not. And I hope that you are watching these guys, these Hall of Fame level, record-setting quarterbacks. And I hope all your quarterbacks, I hope Jay Cutler's watching. You know, I hope all your quarterbacks out there. Eli, he might be number six. He might be number six on that list right now. He might be. But what we saw last night was pure magic on a Bronco team. Doesn't have nearly the weapons that Peyton had in Indianapolis. It was magic. And then guess what we saw that defense do? That defense woke up and they said, we're getting him some stops because we need more points. We need possessions. And Peyton was on fire. He was on fire. So I'm trying to tell you guys, and when we talk about QBs, and we're talking about the importance of QBs, and we're looking at the upcoming class of QBs, I get it. Luck's good. RG3's very good. You know, Newton and all these guys, I get it. But when you want to look at the cream of the crop, when you want to look at the top of the food chain in the NFL right now, and you want to emulate, there's four names, and I already said who they are for that very reason. Your comments, gentlemen, are now welcomed.
I stepped here, man, and I just ditto almost everything, pretty much everything you said, you know, and you know, you can possibly throw Big Ben in there, but right now I'm not, because I just think with those four, they almost make it to where their defenses are not even that much relevant. If their defense gives a couple of stops, you could be in a bit of trouble dealing with those four quarterbacks. I mean, they're capable of, you know, easily walking into the game. You got to count them as 21 on the board. No matter when it's going to happen, but you got to know, you got to put up 21. So that's automatic where they're going to come with. I mean, that's just how good those four guys are with their offense. I mean, it's the only reason why we still consider that the Saints may turn their season around, because of Drew Brees. Not because of anything else but Drew Brees. That's why you can see. That's the only reason why you look at Green Bay and see them sitting at 2-3 and be like, hey, it's still possible they can probably come back and get the division, because Aaron Rodgers is scary. You say RG3 scares you? I hate Aaron Rodgers. He scares me every time we play him. I want him in the dirt, because if he doesn't go down, it's a completed pass or a touchdown.
You know, I'll put it to you this way, then I'll let Kay start jumping in here, but I'll put it to you this way. I'm a big basketball fan, okay? And I had the thrill of watching Michael Jordan's entire career, okay, from North Carolina straight through to the Bulls and even his little stint with the Wizards, okay? And what I see from some of these quarterbacks, there is, you know, and I'm being honest, I'm waiting to see this from Tony. I believe he's got it. Okay, I'm going to be honest. I believe he's got it. I just haven't seen it yet, at least all the time, like we see in these guys. These four, maybe extend to five, might be able to throw. I mean, what the Giants did to the 49ers, we're going to talk about that, because, you know, I know K-Star wants to tell me that I don't know what I'm talking about, so we're going to talk about the 49ers and stuff. But what we're seeing from these guys, it's kind of like Aaron Rodgers went out there and said, we need this win. You know, kind of like what I used to see Michael Jordan do. You know, like, we need this win, and we're going to get this win. And that's it. And he throws six touchdown passes against a team that everybody said had one of the best defenses in the NFL. And he just shredded them like they weren't even there. He just went out there and was just like, I don't care. Greg Jennings sitting on the sideline in a sweatshirt. I don't care. You know, Cedric Benson, their starting running back, not in the game. I don't care. Six touchdown passes, just blew them away. I mean, that determination, that look, the same look I saw on Peyton Manning at halftime, it's just something that everyone doesn't have. And Aaron Rodgers has it. You're right, man. And when these guys get in their zone, man, it's scary. Go ahead, K-Star.
I think it's called the killer instinct for those guys. I mean, obviously, being biased, I definitely would put Ben in that class. I don't think he's necessarily Peyton Manning or Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers, or, I mean, Brees, as far as statistics go, but absolutely I've seen Ben take games over when the game needs to be had, and I think we'll see that next Sunday, but I'm not going to talk about Ben right now. What I am going to talk about is Peyton Manning and Aaron Rodgers, their past performances. They were amazing. Let's be honest. The Aaron Rodgers came out in a fury. That look that you saw, definitely that killer instinct, he was incredibly motivated. You can see it, that determination. No one's going to, you know, stop him. And the Texans did not. The Texans' defense looked obsolete. It looked non-existent, and it was amazing to see. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers, again, he had an incredible performance. But I was even more impressed with Peyton Manning last night, which is hard to do considering Aaron Rodgers had six touchdowns. But to be down 24-0, to see your team basically fumbling, you know, two straight possessions, guys falling on their faces, you know, wrong routes being run as a result of pick six, to overcome all of that, and for the team to rally around Peyton Manning was a sight, you know, to see, because Peyton Manning is truly a top five player, not even quarterback, a top five player in NFL history. He's a surgeon. He is the master at controlling the line of scrimmage. He is all things incredible of a quarterback. And they absolutely do matter. And Train brought up a great point. The reason why no one's counting out New Orleans quite yet is because of Drew Brees, which kind of speaks to itself of how, you know, important and vital he is to his own team's success.
You start with his top five talk, though. You everything you said, I was right with you. And then you say he's a top five player. Top five QB, absolutely. Player? Come on. He's not a top five player.
Well, that's debatable. I mean, look at it, though. I mean, quarterbacks are generally – look, the quarterback's most important position, so you would assume that anyway. Quarterback, all-time great quarterback, could arguably be in the top five, right?
So no Jerry Rice in the top five?
Jerry Rice is absolutely in the top five.
No Ray Lewis in the top five?
Ray Lewis is absolutely in the top five.
Okay. So, I mean, and then we talk quarterback.
I'm simply saying, but there's
also
the quarterbacks
there. You got at least one quarterback in Pittsburgh that you should be talking about, maybe two. But you got one who had four rings. I'd say he should be in that conversation. He's got four rings, and there's only two that have four, him and Montana. So, I mean,
absolutely.
We're running out of five. You know, that's what I'm saying. Top five quarterback? I can't argue that because Peyton Manning is insane and has been consistent. But I would just slow down on a top five player. Then you gotta
I'll just say this. I think you can make an argument for or against it, and that to itself speaks for
Sanders?
Itself.
Barry Sanders?
No, I don't consider Barry Sanders top five all the time.
You don't think Barry Sanders top five? 15,000 yards?
He's right outside of it. He's right outside of it. But the point of the matter is, the fact of the matter is, I simply believe that he can make either the case for or against Peyton Manning being a top five player of all time when it's all said and done. I do believe. I think his resume is pretty sound. But nonetheless, putting all that aside, the mastery that Aaron Rodgers and Peyton Manning displayed this past weekend was just, it was incredible. And I think that as fans of football, as fans of competitive sports, it was a treat for all of us to see just the sheer will and determination and for it to play out the way it did. I thought was a special thing.
Just had an earthquake in Maine. And they said you could feel it here in Connecticut. And I got to tell you, I thought I felt something, but I didn't know what it was. I thought it was a truck or something going by. So I kind of ignored it. And I just got a note saying that earthquake centered in Maine, 4.5 magnitude earthquake felt in Maine and could be felt in Connecticut. So I think I might have felt that earthquake. Wow, that's wild. Anyway. No, I'm serious. 7:26 p.m. just came through. All right. Yeah, I agree with most of everything. I mean, I just stopped short of the, you know, I mean, top five quarterback is certainly easier to politify. Top five player. I mean, if he goes and wins another Super Bowl, I think it would help. I think the one Super Bowl is going to be tough because, you know, even in your team, you got two quarterbacks that have won at least two. You got, and Aikman's got three. You know, Brady's got three. You know, Montana's got four. I mean, according to
I don't think he's a clear cut top five. I'm simply saying, but you definitely make the argument. I mean, the guy's a four-time MVP as well, so he's great. The fact of the matter is, he's a special legendary.
Speaking of MVPs, we even forgot about Mr. Brett Favre.
He has three. He has three. I mean, Brett Favre, terrific. Again. Legendary player at the end of the day is all I'm trying to say. Peyton Manning, as is Tom Brady, as I believe Aaron Rodgers will.
I'll agree with this. That was an incredible performance. That to me, you know, they say that the Colts have no regrets, but I got to tell you, somebody in Indianapolis had to be sitting there licking their lips, talking about, damn. You know, I mean, Luck's playing good, but someone in Indianapolis had to be saying, damn. You know, are you sure we did the right thing? I mean, I'm sure the same thing happened when Brett Favre went over to Minnesota and he threw 31 touchdowns and 7 interceptions and took him to the conference championship game. I know somebody over there in Green Bay had to say, damn. You know, I mean, just somebody had to say. But anyway, all right. K-Star, it looks like you might have changed your topic from K-Star's moment to shine, because I think you feel like you shine a lot. I don't know about all that. But K-Star, sound off. I kind of like that. So K-Star, and actually, you know what's funny is that was going to be my topic. Your topic was going to be mine, but I decided to go somewhere else with it, and I'll let you have it. So go ahead with your sound off, K-Star.
So the past Seattle-New England game was definitely contentious. It was definitely a very competitive game. It came down to the wire. And the Patriots fell short, which is a rare thing for them to fall short of these close type of games. They usually pull these games out. And, you know, it was brought to my attention, and the national media's attention that during this game, like usual, there's trash talk. But only this time, in this case, a player decided to go public with it. He decided to take it a step further. This player is Ray Sherman, cornerback of the Seattle Seahawks, a very, very, very good young player. I can't say that enough. Very impressive to watch. However, this man was trash-talking arguably the greatest quarterback of all time, Tom Brady. Now, there's a lot of things wrong with that. One, first of all, and again, didn't play in the NFL clearly, but apparently it is unspoken rule that you don't take conversations from the field and bring them out to the media. You just do not do that. That's NFL man law. You don't do that. You don't bring, trash talk from the field into the presses, into the storylines. It's just not necessary. What's on the field should be left on the field. And not only did he violate this NFL man law, not only did he disrespect Tom Brady, but he did it again. He did it to the media after talking to Brady. He would not shut his mouth. He kept going in, and even after Brady took the high road and responded, this kid, and let's remember, he is a kid. He's a young football player in the National Football League. It sickens me because you already beat Tom Brady. You said what you said in the field, and that's great. You beat the Patriots, but then you call him the Brady Bunch. That's so disrespectful to the Patriots. That's disrespectful to Bill Belichick. Really, the Patriots are just the Brady Bunch now. And don't get me wrong, Tom Brady, again, one of the best of all time. But to talk trash to the media about Tom Brady is stupid. You're not going to see him in the Super Bowl because your team's not going to make it, first of all. You're not a Super Bowl contender. The Patriots, I definitely see possibly making a run for it, the wide open AFC. But the Seahawks, good up-and-coming team, but you're not there. You're not at that level. You haven't shined like Tom Brady has in the spotlight. You have to be humble when you have early success in this league. Otherwise, you might play yourself out of the league. You might find yourself looking to talk trash, becoming unfocused, undisciplined. Now, if you hype yourself up, that's fine. But you're still calling out the greatest quarterback, possibly of all time. It's disrespectful. I just don't understand it. If you want to have prior wars with Tom Brady, that's one thing. They say things to each other on the field all the time. But again, to take it to a whole other level, it's wrong. It's disrespectful. And not only that, but you really expose yourself, not only to the media, but to the entire NFL for being a disrespectful young athlete. And it's not okay. He's going to be a target. He's going to be a guy that people target in games, with trash talking, and maybe even go after the guy because, again, you don't earn your stripes that way. You earn your stripes in the NFL through hard play and then backing up your talk. But the fact of the matter is, again, you're calling out a Hall of Famer, and I can't wrap my head around it. I don't understand why you would do that. Why would you open yourself up to that? And why would you piss Tom Brady off? Why would you do that? It just doesn't make any sense to me. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Are you done? Because you're repeating yourself now. Are you finished? Are you done?
I'm just upset.
You're repeating
Tom Brady.
All right. Are you done? Because
you're
just repeating yourself. Okay. Train, may I?
Yes, you may.
I've never in my life heard so much blasphemy before in my life. I've never. K-Star, we've been doing the show. This is the second season doing the show with you, and I respect your football acumen. But what you just said is the most ridiculous piece of garbage you've ever spewed on this show. You're telling me that this guy has to have some sort of godlike respect for Tom Brady? I'm not on Tom Brady. Wait. You talk. Give me my moment here now. I'm not on your team. I'm not your teammate. I am out here trying to pick you up, which he did. And if I hear the story correctly, Tom Brady said to him, I'll see you and your safety after we beat you. That's how it started. And so after the game, bro went up to him and said, what's up? We're here. Oh, and you didn't win, did you? What's up? You ain't, if Tom Brady didn't start it, I would be right with you. Like, why? He's a class act, Tom Brady. He's a professional. And but Tom Brady opened his mouth. So you know what? Good. I'm glad somebody shut him up. You know why? Because why don't you come on TV? Well, I read the interview. I read that Brady, he's a great player, and it was a good game, and I respect – Man, Brady, I am so sick of your boring, just like when Welker was up there saying, hey, I don't understand what's going on. And Brady was sitting up there, oh, no, there's nothing going on. Why aren't you campaigning for your wide receiver? Why aren't you out there saying, yeah, he needs to get some love? No, it's always middle of the ground, okay? The great ones take their – I don't know what I rated the show tonight, okay? So for Blog Talk Radio, please forgive me, okay? The great ones take their nuts, they put them on the counter, and they hand you a hammer, and they say, what are you going to do? And Brady is great, arguably the greatest of all time, but he falls short for that. He should have came out like a man and said, you know what? Yeah, I called him out, and he got me, and I can't wait to see him again. That's what you do. You don't sit there and say, oh, I think he's a great player, and I don't know what he saw. Everything's fine. No, you go there like a man, and you say, yeah, you know what? On the field, I called him out, and he got me this time, and I swear to God, I hope we get these guys again. Now, obviously, it can't be till the Super Bowl, but I can't wait to play him again. I got something for him. That's what we want to see from Tom Brady, and dare I say, that's what his teammates want to see. If you're going to let some, you're right, he's young. He ain't got no pedigree in the league, this cornerback, okay? And you're right, he should know who he's talking to. But why? Because Brady should put him in his place, and Brady just goes and rolls with it. After you opened your mouth and this guy has the nerve to stand up to you, pick you up, and your team beat you, and what do? You go running with your tail between your legs. Where's the great Tom Brady? Where you at? Hey, let me just tell you something, because this was going to be my T-Bonics, okay? Let me tell you something. I'm a big boxing fan, okay? And one thing I always say about Floyd Mayweather is this guy runs his mouth, but he backs it up. But Floyd Mayweather has pissed me off because Manny Pacquiao came out on First Take and said, Floyd is afraid of me, and Floyd ain't said crap back to him yet. Where you at, Floyd? You talk any other time, and now you're quiet. I remember watching Muhammad Ali fight Larry Holmes back in 1978. And Muhammad Ali did an interview on the Dinah Shore show. Yeah, I'm dating myself. Before the fight, they did something different. They said, we're going to tape an interview before the fight, and then we're going to show it after the fight. Okay? So, and then they said, okay, we're showing this interview. You guys know the outcome of the fight. And as we know, Ali got his ass beat by Larry Holmes, and we're showing this fight. And Ali, and they said, so Muhammad. And Ali said, you interviewing me? Yeah, didn't I whoop him? That was his first words. Fight hadn't even happened yet. That's what we're talking about. When you're a great athlete, like Tom Brady is, you should not be taken aback. Even if you lost, even if you threw that interception, you should not be sitting there cowering over in the corner and interviewing, I think he's okay, and I don't know, you know. You should be standing up and saying, yeah, I called him out. I'm fucking Tom Brady. I called him out, and okay, he got me. This time, you better damn well believe next time I got him. That's what I want to see from the great quarterbacks. That's what I want to see from. And, yeah, I want to see it in the media. I don't want to leave it on the field. You had the nerve to run your mouth, you back it up. You go out there and you and if he got you, then take it like a man and say, yeah, he got me. He got me this time. Train, I'm done.
Man, let me say this. I love every bit of what Sherman did. I have, like, no qualms against what he did. Look, I understand it's Tom Brady. And if you read some of the reports they put out later, he said it. He has all much respect for Tom Brady, but he got him this time. And since AFC teams only play the NFC teams every 4 years, other than if they made me in the Super Bowl, then, hey, he got them for the next 4 years. He got them, and they got them good. And you can't argue with that. I'm not going to sit here and put Tom Brady on a pedestal like people can't talk trash to him later on. That's crazy. And as quiet as it kept, Tom Brady talks trash out there on the field.
Damn right.
Just get you to look at the score and be like, dude, you're losing. Get together. You're not going to beat us. There are people who piss Tom Brady off. It's just that they're in the same division with him, and then they got to play him again, and then they feel his wrath. This dude doesn't have to play Tom Brady again. And he got him.
Exactly.
For the next 4 years.
But that's the problem. That's the problem. What's Tom Brady really going to say? Oh, I'll see you in 4 years? Because you're not going to see him in the Super Bowl anytime soon. Let's be honest. Tom Brady probably will be in the Super Bowl in the next 4 years. It's really easy for Ray Sherman to talk trash. Or you've got to see the man for another 4 years because he's a – in the AFCs and NFC. Come on.
Yeah.
Seriously. You know what? Tom Brady didn't cower. Tom Brady did the Patriot way. Last I checked, the Patriot way isn't cowering.
Man.
No.
Always
the cower will be,
listen,
Tom Brady is smarter than that. He's not going to get trolled. He's not going to get tricked to play the media game because that's not what he does. You know what? This guy's a peon compared to Tom Brady. Let's be honest. He is throwing rocks at the throne. He needs to watch the throne because it's ridiculous. You call this blasphemous. This is blasphemous. What the? Listen, again, this is like, it'd be a lot different if this was some guy, if this was Darrell Revis in his division where he'd have to see him again. But it's really easy to talk some trash to someone after you beat him in a game which you probably shouldn't have won, but you did, but you're not going to see him in 4 years. It's really easy to do it then. It really is. And he said, he's just a regular human being. He's just a man. Like, come on.
See, making statements like you probably shouldn't have won is crazy because the game has to be played for 60 minutes. And if you let up for 5 minutes, then you lose. And that's what happened. You let up, you lose. Simply
see, here's
they poured
the problem.
It on. They poured it on. Having
here's
a
the
10,
problem.
3,
It's easy to talk to him when you don't have to see him again. Like, that's all I'm saying.
Well, but who started?
On the field?
And who started it?
Yeah, how do you know? Okay, why did Brady? You don't know what was said on the field. You don't know what the dialogue was. You don't know that Tom Brady first came to him and said, you got to the game when we win.
Said exactly what happened on the field.
So we're going to trust what he said because Ray Sherman said it.
Well, why?
We know who Ray Sherman is.
What reason would he have to misrepresent what happened? He seems very forthright about what happened. And he said, I'm jacked right now. He was an excited young man because they backed it up. And I don't think he had any reason to lie. And it's not like Tom Brady came out and refuted the story. I'm going to read Tom Brady's interview. He's a very good player and have a lot of respect for that defense and certainly that secondary. They play very well together. My dad taught me at a young age to play with class and respect and give my opponents respect and certainly have a lot of respect for the Seahawks. But did Sherman give the Patriots the respect they deserve? My dad also told me about things that I can control and certainly not worry about things that I can't. And I really don't have feelings either way towards what someone may say or think. Really, what's important is how I feel. We went out, we played a very good team on the road and have an opportunity to win there in the fourth quarter and didn't take advantage of it. Now, okay, fine.
So
that's how he always is. But
that's cowering. A fundamental belief, his moral code not being covered, but that's cowering.
So when you're on the field and you call this guy out, and now
the
game is – I understand. I did not just say it was on the field. And you call this guy out on the field, and he gets you, and you're asked about it after. Now all of a sudden, you didn't have the respect on the field, did you?
Because
that's
not competitive gameplay.
I don't give a shit.
It's competitive gameplay. Again, you do not know – yeah, if you really tell me Tom Brady went up to him and said, oh, we're going to beat you after the game. What? How do you know they weren't talking trash before then? I really doubt that Tom Brady just got mad and said, oh, I can't wait to see you guys after we win the game. Come on. That sounds to me like he responded to something.
Where?
That sounds like to me it was a response. And you know what? We don't know. We really do not.
So,
it was on the field.
Now we're going to question what the guy says because you can't validate your point. So because we don't have microphones.
I bet if those comments came from Tom Brady, if Sherman's story came from Tom Brady, you wouldn't be refuting. But because it came from Sherman, now there's an issue with his story. Now he just fabricated what happened.
I'm not saying fabricate.
I
don't think he told the whole story. I really doubt that Tom Brady, out of nowhere, without something being incited. Wait.
I
really doubt.
He's some kind of choir boy on the field.
That's what
crazy.
I'm saying. That's what I'm
absolutely
saying.
Absolutely not. I know they're talking trash to that.
Boy on the field. He's not, man. He's freaking Tom Brady. He looks at defense and looking like, dude, stop this because it's coming. I mean, dude, seriously. He's not
I never said Tom Brady didn't talk trash. I said he left on the field. There's a huge difference between continuing from on the field talk and going elsewhere and going to the media with it. There's a huge difference there.
Why can't it come to the media? We're fans. That's what we want to see. We can't always get what's on the field, so we get a taste of what happened on the field in the media. As fans, you got to love it because now you get a little bit of the inside. That's what fans want.
K-Star,
K-Star,
you are a Pittsburgh Steeler diehard, okay? And James Harrison is one of your defensive players, okay? And James Harrison is known for running his mouth on the field and running his mouth in the media. I've never once heard you say James Harrison should keep his mouth shut. He has no problem talking about, I got fined. That's it. I'm going to do it again. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to hit him again. What? Fine me. I don't care.
No.
This is what I do. Yeah, I had no problem with that hit. What's the problem? I don't hear you saying, hey, man, you know, you need to calm down, quiet down. Okay? Sometimes this is an emotional game, and if you see the interview with this guy, he was amped up and jacked up, and there's no reason for us to deny or not to believe that the reason he wasn't so amped up is because he shut up the great Tom Brady, not in single-handedly, but certainly played a part in shutting up the great Tom Brady. And I didn't take it offense to the Brady Bunch comment the way you did. I think what he was saying, his message was, Tom Brady is one man, and he's trying to beat us, but we play as a team. Now, he used the term Brady Bunch, and I can get how that can come across derogatory because of the TV show and all that. I get that. I'm not saying that there's no basis for that to be taken derogatory. But I think the way he meant it was, we play 11-man defense on the field, and Brady's running his mouth about me and my safety, but we got a whole team, and this one man ain't going to beat our whole team. And in this particular case, he's exactly right. I don't have a problem with his running his mouth because he backed it up. He went out there and they backed it up. That's what we want. I love that. Don't you watch NFL films and all the soundtracks and all that and all the crap they be talking? Don't you get excited when you hear all of that? Man, I love hearing that stuff. Keep it coming.
My point is, if he had said it before the game, like the fact of the matter is, if he had said it before the game, you know, we're going to defeat Tom Brady, or we're going to do this at the third, and then back it up, that's a little different. I mean, trash talk on the field and then come on with the ass patch just because you got to win. I mean, come on. You know, Tom Brady probably talked trash to the, who else they lose to? The Ravens. I'm sure he talked trash to Ed Reed or Ray Lewis. But the fact of the matter is, they respect Tom Brady. This kid needs to learn respect for one of the greatest all time players.
Show
like,
any
again, it just sounds like to me, you know, reminds me of
disrespect to him, yeah. Sir, that's not right. That's invalid. He didn't show any disrespect. If you check out his interview, his Tuesday morning interview on NFL AM, they even put a little article about it. The first thing out of his mouth was said, I have much respect for Tom Brady as a quarterback. So he said that.
I don't care.
He said
that doesn't mean anything. That's like
you know
telling someone. That's the same thing as saying.
Disrespect to him. He respected him at that position.
That's the same thing as me saying to you, no offense, Train, but your breath stinks. Like, come on. Like, obviously, it wouldn't offend you.
Wow.
Let me just preface it with, oh, hey, by the way, but then let me just tear you down. Like, come on. That's bullshit. I'm sorry. I don't believe that at all. That's ridiculous.
Wow. So you think all of a sudden because he talks trash that he just doesn't have respect?
I like talking trash. I just think that you're going to do it, at least before the game leading up to it. Don't just talk trash because players talk trash on the field. He'll do it all the time. That's all I'm saying. Like, come on.
Well, let's go to the phones. We got some people that want to chime in. We had a comment in the chat room. The Patriots are classy. There's no need for Tom Brady to respond to any trash talk. The talking should be left on the field. I don't agree. I think that's, as Train said, that's us getting a flavor of the game. You remember, we bring the Madden voice to you as fans. And as a fan, yeah, I like hearing it. I like when these guys run their mouth. I like the swagger. You know what I mean? I like the confidence. I like the bravado. And, yeah, there are times that guys run their mouth like Rex Ryan and then can't back it up. Okay. And he's got to face the heat. But he doesn't. You know what? But he faces it. And now he's running his mouth again, Rex Ryan, about, you know, he came in that division. And what did he say? I'm not kissing Belichick's rings. What's wrong with that? Ain't nothing wrong with that. He wants to know. I'm here. We here to play some football. Let's go to the phones, and we have a 615-753. 615-753. Welcome to the Madden Voice.
Hello, how y'all doing today?
Good.
Good. This is the one and only Raul. I'm listening to it, and I'm talking, and I'm typing to it. I'm keeping up with y'all. Y'all making some good points. I don't know. Tom, he's never been one to get on the media and just talk major. I don't think that's the type of image that Bill Belichick really wants the Patriots to, you know, put out there like that. You know, everything comes from his lead. If Tom was to get out there and start talking all that, oh, this guy, it to me, it'd just be out of character, and it'd bring a lot more of negative feedback to the whole team. So I kind of like the fact that he just let them just keep talking. He keep doing what he's doing because at the end of the year, when the Patriots are in the playoffs and Seattle is sitting at home watching the playoffs, then it'll be like, who was that guy make that comment in week, five or six about Tom Brady? He's not even in the playoffs right now. So I don't know. That's just my thoughts about it.
I think one of the problems here is that we are still giving the Patriots the same respect that they get the same respect as if they just won a Super Bowl and won a Super Bowl in 8 years. Okay. And so I think we have to realize that while they are a great franchise and Brady has 3 rings, they won a Super Bowl in 8 years. And so, you know, let's not anoint them the champions yet, because they're at 3-3 and the Seahawks are 4-2. And I'm not so ready to sign that certificate that says the Seahawks are going to be sitting home, you know, at the end of the season. We're going to learn a lot about the Seahawks team when they travel to San Francisco and play the 49ers Thursday night. And we just saw what the Giants did in San Francisco. Not saying that these guys are the Giants, but they've played some pretty good football. So I'm not ready to write them off yet. But I think this respect that we have to give Tom Brady and the Patriots, they're a football team. You know, they're men. And I know that Brady runs his mouth. Now, maybe he doesn't do it in the media, but he runs his mouth. Okay, and so let's not act like this guy just goes out there and throws 5 touchdowns and wins games and goes back in the locker room. He runs his mouth too, and I don't have a problem with him being called out. I don't have a problem with it at all, you know, because you know what? Yeah, maybe the guy didn't say anything before the game, but once you call me out and then I perform, yeah, I'm jacked now. You're Tom Brady. I'm jacked, and I'm going to talk about it. Shoot. But anyway, all right, Raul, thanks for the comment. Appreciate it.
No problem.
All right. We're going to get another 615 that's got something to say. This is 615-596. Welcome to the Madden Voice.
Hey, let me in. Let me in.
Come on in, Coach. Hey, it's your turn.
Hey, Coach, y'all. Keep running out of control. I want you to repeat what you said now. Because I was over here rolling, you said about 5 minutes ago. But what does the greatest of all time, what do they do?
Which thing did I say, man? I said a lot, so you got to remember.
You said the greatest, they put the nuts on the table.
Oh, yeah.
Give you a hammer and say, how hard can you swing?
And I dare you to swing. I dare you. Yeah. That's what they
man,
do.
That's crazy.
That's
listen,
what they do.
I agree with both of y'all. I think both of y'all comments are great. I don't believe Tom Brady, whom I've hated so much, I love him now. I believe that he is not above getting talked trash to on the field or off the field. But on the same tip, I don't believe he should start talking like that or stooping to somebody's level in the media. And he can't. When you're making that much money and you got a certain level of respect to uphold to the media, I mean, you got to just... You always got to play the high road, and it's going to benefit his pockets later on. And so I believe he's doing right by playing the high road, just shut up, and after a while we're not even going to recognize the cat that was talking to him like that.
Yeah, but let me ask you a question. I hear what you're saying. I don't know that trash talking is going to hurt his pocketbook, but don't you think that it's been so long since they've won a Super Bowl that – They're still working off of a swag and this level of invincibility that has been that's just not there anymore. It's just not there anymore.
No, I don't. I still do in a sense. I root against them every time they play, but I've developed respect for them because you're not going to see another franchise or another quarterback coach combination who has upheld this level of play over the years. I mean, they went to the Super Bowl last year. And they uphold this level of play for ever since he's been in the starting position. I mean, you're just not going to see that anywhere else. I'm in Tennessee. I like the Titans. And we just rooting for to go above 500, let alone make it to the playoffs every year or the AFC Championship. I mean, it's hard to win the Super Bowl.
It is. But I would warn you that when you say never, you know, when Bradshaw won 4, and unfortunately, I'm old enough to remember them. People were saying,
the
well, we're never,
different.
We're,
Come on, the
well,
is
well,
different
but, but people were saying then, we're never going to see another quarterback win 4 Super Bowls with the same team. It's just not going to happen. And then Montana goes and wins 4. You know what I mean? And now Brady could.
The league is different.
Well, but
I mean,
now
seeing the things they're doing in football, they're getting it right, man, and they're leveling this thing off every year, man. It's just getting more and more even. I believe it's getting more and more hard to be, you know.
But Brady can achieve 4 in free agency, and he's played his whole career in free agency, okay, where Montana and Bradshaw didn't, and they got 4. So things have changed. It's a different league. But what we're saying is that to say never, I think is tough. I mean, when you look at the Saints and you look at what, you look at a Sean Payton and a Drew Brees combination, you look at what an Aaron Rodgers might be able to do, you know, I mean, these guys have some years left on them, especially Aaron Rodgers, and the potential of what these guys can do, you know, so I'm no longer.
I see what you're saying. There's a possibility, but if you see what these guys have done consistently, in and out, year after year, even when I remember when Tom Brady had probably the worst receiving package in the NFL, and I believe that's the year the Colts won, and they still was at the AFC Championship they lost in. I mean, they still look good. I mean, these guys do it year in and year out. I got the most respect for them guys more than anybody in the league because they just do, they bring you the same thing every year, a high level of play every single year. And
yeah, I mean,
I can't believe you couldn't put Eli Manning in that list, T. He couldn't be number 5, Eli Manning? That's a little disrespectful.
Nah, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
you know why? I'm going to tell you why. Because now this year we'll see what happens. But, I mean, he won the Super Bowl in 07. He beat Tom Brady. He stopped the miracle season that the Patriots were having. I mean, it was an incredible accomplishment. It really was Eli's coming out season. You know, I mean, but that defense really dictated it. Okay, Eli played well. Don't get me wrong. But that defense – and what they did to the Cowboys, to the Packers, to Tom Brady, I mean, without that defense, we're not having this conversation. And as you just said, what have the Patriots been able to do without great defenses? We've never seen Eli do that without great defense. That's number one. Number two, 08, 09, 2010, where were the Giants? Nowhere. So, you know, when you're looking at these quarterbacks, these teams are competitive every year. And yet, Eli, 3 years, didn't even make the playoffs. And he comes back last year, defense again, but Eli plays great. I'll give him his props, and they win it. Now, let's see what happens this year. Now, right now, they're looking pretty good right now. Okay, they're looking pretty good, but let's see what happens. So that's why I say my jury on Eli being number 5, I'd go with Ben right now over Eli at that
point. I can't do that. I can't go with Ben over Eli. But the four of you named,
whoa.
I can't do it.
How can you not? Wait. How can you not go Ben over Eli? Are you kidding me? What has Eli done? What?
He won the Super Bowl last year.
Okay. He won the Super Bowl last year. And guess what? And again, he's been there 3 times.
Everybody counted him out last year. They said they was done. And
I'm
then
sorry,
they go
the Steelers. Whoa. Okay, cool. So what counted him out? Well, guess what?
When the Steelers
won.
Who did
the Steelers
win Super Bowls?
Okay, that's fine. Okay, so because it's the Steelers. Listen, when Big Ben won his first Super Bowl, they were the 6th seed, the Steelers were. No one picked them to go to the Super Bowl. They were 1.7-4 on the season, so I'm not trying to hear that. I mean, seriously, now after...
How long ago was that? Was Obama the president? How long ago?
No, that was the Steelers five.
Win. Come on, man. That's too long ago.
Ben's been to three has been the model of consistency that Eli Manning has not been as year to year. You don't know if the Giants were to make it. It seems as if you're right. The Steelers are always expected to make it. And guess what? Guess who's the face of that franchise? Ben Roethlisberger. Thank you.
Yeah, but Eli won last year. And they beat the best team in the NFL twice. Both times they did it. You got to tip your hat to Eli, man. I know he looks
great.
Hey, listen,
I defend Eli all the time.
Hey,
I think it's better to hear Eli over Ben. That's blasphemy to me. That's where I draw the line.
Now, I put Eli in that 5th spot. But, and hold on. One more thing real quick. No, I'll hang up. are we putting, even though I know he looks great, and I would probably pick him, I would probably still put him in the top four. But has Aaron Rodgers really proven to be amongst the elite right now as far as Breeze and Peyton Manning and Brady?
Yep. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that game against Houston.
Are we saying he is definitely going to get another ring?
Yeah. I believe that the Packers, as long as McCarthy stays the coach and Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback, they'll get another ring before Rodgers.
Yeah, I agree.
And I know Train is a little biased, and I don't have a problem with that. You know, it's the Bears, and I mean, I understand. So Train's gonna stay. He's gonna recuse himself of this part of the conversation. But Rodgers, and trust me, I was a big proponent for them not letting Brett Favre go because I'm big on loyalty. I think you stay loyal, and Brett Favre has kept that franchise relevant for a long time. But what did I know? Because Aaron Rodgers is playing on a level that I don't know even Brett Favre has played on, to be honest with you. I mean, Brett Favre played on a very high level but threw a lot of picks, you know, and only got one ring. He got his three MVPs, but he got one ring. Aaron Rodgers has already got that one ring and doesn't have the turnovers that Brett Favre have. Yeah, I mean, the guy's scary good. He's scary.
Aaron Rodgers is a special player. He really is.
Yeah. But let me I do want to make one comment about the whole Seahawks and Patriots thing. One thing I kept hearing people say is talking as if Seattle and you know, Sherman and Seattle are going to be a distant memory. I would like to just warn all those who have that thought that the parity in this league is pretty awesome. You've seen a ton of upsets this year already. Even within this past week, they call it upset weekend. This past weekend, do not discount the Seahawks if they bump be in the playoffs, because they can darn well make it. If you look at the makeup of Arizona and the makeup of San Francisco, they can darn well win their division and be in the playoffs. Especially after you saw what the Giants did to San Francisco. And when you're talking about a team that has a defense like Seattle has and a run game like Seattle has. Quarterback doesn't need to do much. He just needs to take care of the ball. So don't discount these Seahawks as if they're going to be some kind of distant memory, not even for the seasons to come.
I think the situation will be a distant memory. I mean,
oh, yeah, the situation will come and go. That's football. You know, and next weekend we'll be talking about, you know, something else. Exactly. It'll come and go. But I do agree with Train that I think the Seahawks, I mean, especially, I mean, it was 2 weeks ago that everybody had San Francisco as the best team in football. And not anymore. You know what I mean? And I mean, we're going to get into it because me and K-Star have a little disagreement we have to hash out. But now that we saw San Francisco pretty much not show up at home against the Giants, I mean, that division's wide open. That division is wide open. San Francisco is not. I mean, I think it's time to play. I think it's time to play something that I need to play right now.
The Bears are what we thought they were. We played them in preseason. Who the hell takes a third game in a preseason like it's bullshit? Bullshit. We played them in the third game. Everybody played three quarters. The Bears are who we thought they were. And that's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
Now we just substitute 49ers because... I don't know, man. They may not be who we thought they were. It's long season, and they got talent. But, man, oh, man, they laid a goose egg. I mean, they just stunk it up against them Giants. So, but anyway, man, we're going to let you go, man, and get on to the show. But thanks for calling in, man. Been a while. We appreciate your feedback.
Take it easy, fellas.
All right. Take care.
Thanks.
All right. Train, that was your boy, right?
Yeah, that was my boy, man.
Yeah, I thought so. I thought so. So let's focus in on quarterbacks. So let's talk about Alex Smith. And me and Case, I had a Twitter disagreement yesterday about Alex Smith. And I guess I'll frame the issue, and then we'll let K-Star, you know, make his case. But K-Star tweeted yesterday that that's why Alex Smith last week was number five, even though me and Train had him higher in our top five quarterbacks. And my point was, you know, this game hadn't been played yet. You know, so for you to now use this game to say this is why is just ridiculous, because the question was, based on performance, list your top five quarterbacks. And K-Star's point was, well, I know that Alex Smith is just a game manager. He hadn't been in a position to bring the team back. And now you're seeing what I told you would happen if the team gets behind. He can't come back from behind. So thus, this game justifies my ranking. And what I'm saying is the game hadn't been played. Yeah, you were right in your statement. Your statement was a correct statement. Justified a week later by watching a game, but based on performance, he was a top-rated quarterback in the NFL, no matter what rating system you used. And so no one had a crystal ball to know what was going to happen. And matter of fact, there weren't many people who thought that the Giants would win the way they won. There weren't many people out there at all that thought that. Every show I watched had the 49ers going in for revenge and look out. And they had Rodgers playing on a very high level. And I think the funniest part about it, and then I want to get Train's thoughts before K-Star and I speak. The funny part about it is Jimmy Johnson, who is a former Cowboy coach, kind of backed K-Star and said, yeah, this is kind of what I expect from Alex Smith. This is who he is. He's a game manager, and I don't know how much longer he's going to be a starter. And Terry Bradshaw, who is a Steeler person, a legend, kind of came around and said what I said. He said, well, hey, up to this point, he did everything the team asked him to do. He was playing great, you know. And, yeah, he stunk it up this game, but up to this point, you can't say that, you know. So I thought that was pretty funny that my guy backed K-Star and his guy backed me. But Train, what are your thoughts on our disagreement? And seeing as how you also had Alex Smith ranked very high, do you think K-Star had a point now based on his game, or do you think it just happens to be a coincidence?
Well, I would never disagree that Alex Smith is – you know, is that he's pretty much a game manager quarterback. I'm not going to disagree with that at all. That was still my stance last week when I put him up there. But his performance alone still warranted being in the top five, even as high as I had him. I mean, when you look at that game, man, it was, you know, the Giants dominated them on all sides of the ball. I mean, it wasn't just Alex Smith. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, that's not a position you want to get Alex Smith in a position to have to bring a team back. I mean, San Francisco was a tough team because they played solid defense, they played tough defense, and because they were able to run the ball, and Alex Smith made the plays that he needed to play. But that wasn't the case Sunday. I mean, they were getting spanked. I mean, they were shutting down the run. They were beating up on San Francisco defense, and so it kind of put Alex Smith behind the eight ball. But, I mean, if you want to use that to say, well, you know, he's the quarterback guy, oh, he was, well, fine. But, I mean, he still doesn't defeat. He's still a game manager quarterback even after this. Even if you want to just consider this to be just a bad game, he's still a game manager quarterback. Doesn't mean that the guy won't bounce back. It doesn't mean that he didn't deserve the top five ranking that he received.
Well said. That was pretty good, Train. I can't even argue. I really can't even argue that with you. K-Star, what are your thoughts? I know we chopped it up on Twitter yesterday, but what are your thoughts?
Listen, while I think we all three had Alex Smith in the top five quarterback performances this season, I had him at the bottom at number five only because I was very, very skeptical of what I saw. The reason why I was skeptical, because to me, the situational dictated his stat. He's a situational type player. And against the Buffalo Bills and against the Jets and against the Lions, he played good football. But I want to remind you guys, there was that game there in Minnesota in which the Niners got behind. In a game in which, when Alex Smith had a throw, he went 24 for 35, 204 yards, one touchdown, one interception, 13 points on the board. Now, that game spoke to me only because it was a situation where the Niners were having to pass the ball, where Alex Smith had to make the plays. And I feel like when Alex Smith is in a position where he has to make plays himself, where he's the guy, that's where he will struggle. Now, we saw that in this game again, or in this game against the Giants, where Alex Smith went 19 for 30, 200 yards, three interceptions, 43 rating, but more importantly, 3 points on the scoreboard. Now, again, I had Alex Smith in my top five performances because he was great against those bad football teams. Absolutely. But my reasoning was for him being at the bottom of the fifth spot was because I was skeptical due to the fact that I feel like he's a situational player, a role player on a great team, and I think that theory played itself out against the Giants, where we saw a situation again where the Niners had to throw the ball to get back in the game, and they couldn't undo it. They put the game in Alex Smith's plate, and he couldn't handle it.
Well,
and
to me,
that just validated my skepticism.
Well, I'll just say this. I don't think without a crystal ball, you can predict the future to validate what goes on today. You know, it's like me saying Tony Romo's going to throw for 400 yards next week. They're going to blow out the Panthers. And for that reason, now I think Romo's a top five quarterback based on what I think he's going to do next week. We don't know what's going to happen. And the problem I have with what you said, K-Star, is not the label of game manager. He did what he was asked to do. He was playing at a high level. And you yourself last week had the 49ers as the best team in football, but you have their quarterback at number five on your rating. I just think it's hypocritical. The best team in football.
It's not hypocritical at all.
Well, I think it is. The best team in
football. He's not the focal point of that team. That's my whole point. I mean, look, I had him at fifth because, again, that Vikings game told me a lot. When they had
they had played five games, K-Star. And for you to put so much weight on one game, yeah, it may not have been a great performance. I will give you that. And the fact that he don't write the schedule. I mean, they play the teams that are put in front of them. You know, and he was playing at a very high level. That's a fact. And you're not giving him the credit he deserves at playing at that high level. Now, yeah, now, if you ask me now, oh, yeah, I'm coming around. Now I'm coming around to where your thinking is based on what I know happened. Okay? Based on him not showing up in a big game. This is a big game. A Viking game, yeah. I would almost say now we know what the Vikings have. Okay, but I would almost say teams are getting surprised by what's going on with Ponder and AP playing at a high level and that defense playing, and it's almost like, whoa, where did these teams come from? Just like Seattle, you know, like, wait a minute, we weren't expecting this. Okay, but the game Sunday, all right, I'm gonna agree with you now. I'm gonna agree with you that game, you knew who you were playing, you knew what was at stake, big, huge game at home, and he did nothing that game. So now if you ask me, oh, yeah, now, as a matter of fact, we're going to get into our NFL rankings, but none of us put the 49ers, none of us, in the top five. Last week, K-Star had him number one, Train and I had him number three. Overall, they pointed out at number three. This week, none of us had them in our top five. So based on what we know, I agree with your assessment. But there's no way I could agree with it last week because it was based – you used one game out of five and said this is who Alex Smith really is.
Because I didn't just look at the number. I didn't just look at the stats. I had the eyeball test. I look at the situations. For me, it wasn't just let's look at quarterback rating, let's look at the total QBR, and let's just go ahead. No, hold on. For me, it was the gameplay. It was everything. It was all encompassed.
Respect my process and just say I looked at the QBR and said, okay. No, they
were. Was that your process? I didn't say that, but if you feel it's defensive, I understand that.
No. I've been watching football before you was even born, son, so you back up for a minute. What I'm saying to you is that it wasn't just the statistics. It was the fact that he was the number one ranked quarterback on both scales, and the team was 4-1, and by most accounts, the best team in the NFL. Now, in every other situation, the quarterback gets, we have said, when the team is doing well, the quarterback gets too much credit, and when the team's doing poor, the quarterback gets too much blame. So what changed? Why now doesn't he deserve the same credit that anybody else would get with a 4-1 team that's considered one of the best, if not the best teams in the NFL? Then he should be considered at least top three, at least. And you had him in the
Because he was a role player on that record, I'm telling you. And again, like I said, the theory played itself out. I was just skeptical. Like, I saw the numbers. They were pretty eye-boggling. However, from what I had seen on the football field, I was just like, look, I'm a little skeptical. This is why I have him in fifth. I referenced the Vikings game. I'm just saying, it played itself out like I thought it would. And here we are now.
All right. Let's talk Cowboys and Steelers for a minute.
Yeah.
I've had days to think about this game, okay? And I know the Cowboys, people like to hear my rants about the Cowboys, and for 2 days I didn't know where to go. I didn't know whether to be pissed off or whether to be optimistic. I didn't know whether to be angry or whether to be, encouraged, okay? And I've decided to be both, because this is what I go through as a Cowboy fan. I want people to feel my pain. This is it. This is a team with all the talent in the world that played what many people considered to be one of the best teams in the NFL at 5-1. Even we have them in our power ranking, and all three of us have the Ravens in our top five. So one of the best teams in the NFL went into their stadium where they've won like 22 out of 23, 13 in a row or some insane number. And if anyone says they shouldn't have won that game, they didn't watch that game. Beat that team for 59 and a half minutes. Outplayed them. 2-1 in possession. Rushed more yards against that team than anybody in history. And yet, couldn't close the deal. Couldn't close the deal. So you sit there and you look at this team and you say, this is a team that should have won this game and against one of the best teams in the NFL, and you want to say, wow, then what does that mean for the Cowboys then? What does that mean for them if they win? The problem is you can't say that. I can't have that conversation now. I can't come on here and gloat like I was ready to do when they lined up for that field goal and Mr. Automatic Dan Bailey, I said, this is money. This is over. And it sailed wide left. So my brief comments to this, I'm not going to, because we – probably got enough 15 minutes or so. We're going to wrap up and get ready for the other debate. But my brief comments is this. The good is that I saw a team fight. I saw a grit in this team that is encouraging. That's the good. The bad is they didn't close the deal. I'm not happy with Jason Garrett. I'm not happy with Joe DeCamillis, the special teams coach, because there's no reason Jacoby Jones should be running 108 yards on a kickoff return. And let me tell you something. For those of you who think the game was lost in the last 25 seconds with poor clock management, you're wrong. You're wrong. Okay? I'm going to tell you two plays that cost the Cowboys this game. And it's not Dez Bryant dropping a two-point conversion either. No. You're wrong. The one play is that 108-yard kickoff return. That's one play. The second play, which actually happened earlier, was the one-pick Tony Romo throw. Now, I've been a big supporter of Tony Romo, and I will continue to be. But that was a bad interception because it was a 10-10 game, and the Cowboys were in the red zone, and they were driving. They were driving. And they were ready to take the lead, at least to come away with a field goal, maybe a touchdown. They had been dominating the game and running all over this team. And Tony threw a bad pick. And then the Ravens came down and scored, and it went 17-10 into the halftime. Those are the two plays that cost this team the game. Not Dez Bryant dropping a two-point conversion, not bad clock management at the game, and not the missed field goal. If we get 3 or 7 right there, I'm telling you the Cowboys win this game. But they didn't, and I'm frustrated with it because this team has learned how to close. You had the Ravens beat. You had them beat. Joe Flacco said, take this win and get the heck out of here. He knew. He knew. Ray Lewis was sitting on the sideline praying. Praying. They showed him, had his eyes closed. They knew. They dodged a bullet. Anyway. Question I have for K-Star.
Oh, good.
I will get you in here in a minute, Train. I got a question for K-Star. And I know he probably wants to take a minute to talk about his Steelers loss to the Titans. And after you do that.
I really don't want to take a minute for that. Just we can actually skip that. That'd be great.
Steelers 2-3. Troy is out. Cowboys are 2-3. Unbiased. Take off your Steeler hat for a minute. Who's in more trouble?
You know what? It's tough. And really, no biases aside, I think it's really tough because while the Ravens have the better record than the Steelers, I think the Steelers are in a really good position only because the AFC right now is really wide open, whereas the NFC is a little
definitely much tougher than the AFC this year. However, mathematically, the Steelers are in a worse position than the Cowboys because, you know, the Ravens are 5-1, whereas the Giants, I believe, are 4-2. Eyeball test says the Cowboys have definitely been playing better this season. I am not going to lie. However, both are very similar, as they both have blown two games they should have absolutely won. So, right now, both, I don't think me or T are really, really too happy about the situations, but I will say that the Steelers and Cowboys this year, they both have given up games they should have won. They were the better teams in those games, and it's unfortunate, but mathematically speaking, the Cowboys are in a better position. But, again, the Ravens took a lot of injuries. They're hurt everywhere, so I feel like the Steelers still have a chance to come back in the division. They haven't played divisional games yet, but the Cowboys are in a better position. They already beat the Giants, who are first in the division anyway. So I'm just going to be honest. The Cowboys are right now in a better position due to week one and the fact that, again, they're not as far behind from the Giants as Steelers are to the Ravens.
I'm going to give Train the floor, but I just want to say one thing. I agree with you. I appreciate your honesty. And here's why I agree with you. Not because I think the Cowboys are a better team than the Steelers, because I don't, because and I love your coach. But I think Troy Polamalu being uncertain is really going to be a problem for your team. He is not only just a wild card as a player, he's your leader on defense, okay? And make no mistake about it. As he goes, your defense goes, and in some cases, your team goes. I know Big Ben is a monster, but you guys need Troy, and he's already out for Sunday. He's already ruled out. I don't know if you know or not, but I looked into it. He's already ruled out for Sunday's game. And, you know, you guys are going to play Cincinnati in Cincinnati without Troy. And it looks like this injury he's got, this calf thing. I mean, I saw him on First Take, and he's trying to rehab, but you know, and I know he's a soft-spoken guy anyway, but I didn't get a sense of, oh, yeah, I'll be back, you know, I'm going to miss this game. I didn't get that sense of he's going to be back soon. I just didn't get that sense. I think they want to make sure when he's back he can go a full game. Maybe they brought him back a little early, he re-aggravated, and he's out. That's going to be a problem for you guys. That's the only reason. If it wasn't for that, I'd say, yeah, the Cowboys are in worse shape. We just lost to DeMarco Murray for at least a week, maybe two. You know, and we just can't seem to close the game. And I like your coach. I think your coach can rally your team. But with Troy being hurt, man, that's just for you guys. And I think Train or somebody put up something on the Facebook page about your record with and without Troy. But I know Train's dying to jump on in here. Train, go ahead and take over.
No, that was me.
Oh, man.
Oh, it was you. Okay.
Both of you guys had winnable games this weekend. But let me first speak on the Cowboys they have. I saw the question in the agenda was moral victory with a question mark. If any Cowboy player or fan take this as a moral victory, I need you to grab them, T. You know what I'm saying? So grab their shirt right in the middle and slap them back to earth. There's nothing moral about a loss when you are as good as the team that you play. The Cowboys are a good team. Okay, regardless of what the record says, they're still a good team. And they had several opportunities to win that game, and they didn't, which means that you got to turn from being just a good team to a good team that knows how to close a game. So there's no moral victory for the Cowboys here. They need to finish out games, period. I don't care what it takes, finish it out. Steelers, look, man, I don't care how many injuries you suffer in a game, it's the Tennessee Titans, okay? I don't care if Ben is hobbling on one leg, and we've seen him do it before. It is the Tennessee Titans. You win that game regardless of what the makeup of your team looks like. There's no way the Steelers to the left out of Nashville without a win. That's all I have to say.
I mean,
Loki guy.
Look, and I don't – it was a disappointing loss. It's rough because I agree with you completely. We lost four offensive linemen in that game, and I was like, dude, it doesn't matter. It was the Titans. Like, I 100% agree with you, you know. I don't really want to make excuses. Like, the Steelers were up 7 in that game in the fourth quarter. That should have been it. It really should have been. Unfortunately, we had a missed field goal opportunity, but, again, it shouldn't have been that close anyway. So, I mean, I do agree, but it was still a blown game, again, against an easy opponent. That's the second time we've done that. Raiders, the same thing happened. But moreover, look, we need Troy Polamalu back. It's just that simple. I mean, I don't care if we're playing the Titans. I don't care who we're playing. You know, we're playing the Giants. We're playing the Patriots. If we're playing, you know, whoever. We need Troy Polamalu back to be a serious contender this year. Now is the opportunity for the Steelers to get back in this division race starting Sunday night against the Bengals. And like I told you guys, we're talking about the quarterbacks earlier. I think you're going to see that same determination in play from Big Ben because we need this game. And we're without Troy, so we really need to put a lot of points on the board for this one. It's just simply the case. It needs to go down that way. And the Ravens are really banged up, so we could make a run. It's going to be still really tough. We have to work out these things. If Troy Palmer's on the lineup, I really don't know what we can do as far as the long term goes, but we'll see.
Yeah, you know, and I think you make excellent points, K-Star, and I don't say that often, but I think that. This is Ben time now. This is where Ben, two-time Super Bowl winner, has to sit down with Mike Tomlin and say, you know, I had an argument with a guy about we were talking about I'm trying to remember if we were talking about I can't remember what game we were talking about. It might have been the Cowboys-Ravens game. And we were talking about, you know, games where leads are blown and who's the onus on. And he said in every game it's 50-50. And I said, no, it's not. You know, there are times the offense has to step up. There's times the defense has to step up. And that's what it being a team game is all about. Sometimes the defense can't stop them, and you need a Drew Brees or someone to go out there and just score a lot of points because the defense just isn't in sync. Sometimes the offense just can't get it going. You need a defense to get some stops. You know, and I think for your Steelers, this is going to be a time where your defense might stutter and putter along. That offense is going to have to score some points. And I know for the Cowboys, I mean, you know, the Panthers are down and out right now. You need to kick them now. This is not a game where they need to try to restart their season on the Cowboys. This is where you go in there, and I agree, Trey, there's no moral victories. There's no moral victories. We lost, okay? And if anybody in Cowboy Nation that's listening thinks that it was a moral victory, to hell with you, okay? Turn in your star and go find another team. There's no moral victories here. But what I will say is the Cowboys now, it's over. It's done. You're moving on. And you know you won that game. Even though you lost, you know that was a winnable game against a very good team. You need to take that and put a little some of that in your pocket. Put a little some of that in your tank and get a little bit of swag back and go into Carolina next week and say, oh, no. You know, oh, no, you're 1-4.
Yeah.
We're going to make you 1-5. That's what needs to happen. What was that?
I was really disappointed that Cowboys – I obviously wanted the Cowboys to win for, you know, the whole Ravens thing. It was disappointing, and I got to say – Jason Garrett. Now, some people are blaming Romo, which, I mean, yeah, he could, I guess, help the situation. He's a veteran quarterback. But Jason Garrett looked lost in that situation where, you know, they had to hurry up offense going and try and get field goal range. Romo's calling or looking to, you know, Garrett for any type of call. Garrett just seems baffled. And, you know, they get a one-yard play, and that's it. They waste, like, 20 seconds. Like, we saw that last year. But that'd be my biggest concern as a Cowboys fan. If I'm a Cowboys fan, I'm like, okay.
And I'm not concerned. And I'm not concerned. And I'm going to tell you why.
You're not concerned with Jason Garrett?
No, I'm not. And I'm going to tell you why. Two reasons. Number one, I saw a fight in this team that had been missing. Okay? I saw a toughness in this team that had been missing. And to me, that comes from the coach. When it wasn't there, I blamed Garrett. And I said, you need to step up. And I saw this team fight the whole game, and that hadn't been there. Okay? And secondly, you know, could that have been handled better? Sure. But is that why they lost this game? Come on, man. It's not why they lost the game. It's just not why they lost the game. And for anyone who sits there and going to say, you know, poor clock management, you should maybe you're right. But the game should have already been put away. Shouldn't even never came down to that. And that's where I honestly got to blame a little bit on Romo, that pick, and that special teams. Because if those plays don't happen, it's a different game. I'm not worried about that. I'm not worried about those are things you go back at the film and you look and you say, you know what? And Garrett stood up and said, it's on me. I screwed up. I got to respect that. He stood up at the podium and said, yep, it's on me. I didn't handle that properly. So I'm not worried about that. What I want to see is Tony Romo making the right decisions for 60 minutes. That's what I want to see, not 58 minutes. 60 minutes, the right decisions. Tony, give me one mistake-free game, please. Just give me one. Okay, just give me one. and then maybe give me two. But right now, let's start with one. All right, we're running out of time here. I wanted to talk a little bit about Ray Lewis, but we might have to hold off on that. But since that topic kind of isn't really going anywhere, since he's out for the year, we'll save that. We're going to talk a little bit about the Falcons. But let's do two things. Let's do our picks, and then let's get out of here. Top five running backs. I thought we'd try a little different position this week. And with all the running that I saw, because I was watching the Cowboys and I saw some good running, so I said, let's pick the top five running backs. So here is the Madden Voices top five running backs based on performance. And we weren't too far off each other. I think I had a little bit of a different list than you guys did. You guys were pretty close, but I had a little bit of a different list. But at number five is Morris from the Redskins. At number four, the man himself, Adrian Peterson with the Vikings. Number three, Marshawn Lynch, Seahawks. Number two, Jamal Charles. And number one, Arian Foster. Now, the only thing that I will say is Train and K-Star both had Jamal Charles, number one. I went with Arian Foster over Charles. And two reasons. One is Houston's a better team, and I think they're a better team because of Arian Foster. And secondly, Arian Foster's got seven touchdowns. Jamal Charles has two. I'm not mad at him for only having two, but the object is, you know, part of your job is to get in that end zone, and he's only gotten there twice. So I did have him. I actually had him number four on my list. I had Foster, then I had Marshawn Lynch, and then I had Adrian Peterson number three, because I got to tell you, maybe I'm sounding a little bit like K-Star here, maybe, but I got to tell you, knowing where this guy came from, knowing what it took for him to be able to play at the level that he's playing at, it's got to be unprecedented in the NFL. It's got to be. And to be the number six running back in the league, you know, with what you came off, the injury you came out of, I had to give him credit for that, and so I had him at number three. Train did not have him on his list at all. K-Star had Peterson at number four. Then I had Jamal Charles at number four. And, yeah, I don't mind taking a little heat for having him so low, but I just feel like he's a good running back on a bad team, and his impact just isn't being felt. And, you know, Morris, I mean, he's doing what needs to be done over there in Washington with RG3. And I had him at number five. Train had Jamal Charles number one, Foster number two, Lynch number three, Morris number four. And Train had Sean Ridley at number five, the only appearance anywhere with Ridley. Can't argue that. Ridley's playing pretty good. And the Patriots certainly have been running the ball effectively. K-Star had Charles at number one, Foster at number two, Lynch at number three. So K-Star and Train 1 through 3 were the same. And then K-Star had Peterson at number four and then Morris at number five. So that's what gave Morris five, Peterson four, Lynch three, Charles two, and then Arian Foster number one. I mean, I don't think anyone can argue with our rankings. Any quick thoughts on our rankings?
No.
I was surprised Train didn't have AP in his list a little bit.
I was kind of surprised too, Train. I know you're a big Adrian Peterson fan. I was kind of surprised you didn't have him on your list at all either.
I mean, I looked at the, I kind of went to the ranking, see what all the running backs were, and, the ones that they did have above, ones that did have Adrian Peterson on yards, the teams were winning. So I saw no reason not to take them out of any one of those out of the top five to put Adrian Peterson up there. And even though Jamal Charles isn't on a winning team, Jamal Charles is all that Kansas City has right now for offense. He's it. You know, they don't have a quarterback to get Dwayne Bowe involved. So that's pretty much how my ranking goes, man. I mean, you take one of those other running backs out, Adrian Peterson is like right there. But, all those guys there, Foster, Lynch, Morris, really, I mean, the way they're running the ball is, their teams are winning because of the way they're running the ball.
All right. NFL power rankings, and then we're going to go to our picks. So our power rankings, we actually all had the same five teams, just in a different order, but we had the same five teams, which is pretty amazing. And at number five, making their debut, is the New York Football Giants. Number four, the Chicago Bears. Number three, the Baltimore Ravens. Number two, the Houston Texans. And a unanimous number one selection, the Atlanta Falcons. Conspicuous by their absence, the San Francisco 49ers are off list and not in anybody's rankings. K-Star, any thoughts on the rankings?
You know, I guess I'm a little surprised you guys didn't have, and myself as well, thinking about it more as the day progressed. I don't necessarily think because the Niners lost to the Giants are not a top five team. For me, if I were to rank them, they would be, you know, sixth, and I did rank them, but that's a really tough call. It just seems like a big fall for the Niners to just fall, you know, bottom out of our top five, but that was a tough loss. They got blown out, so I'm not too surprised. The Falcons, obviously, number one, they just find ways to win no matter the situation. And let's be honest, I think it's funny when people, and I've been guilty of this as well, I'm sure you guys have as well, also, they're beating teams, and they're not the best of teams. The fact of the matter is they're beating these teams. And if my Steelers are beating the Titans, you know, I wish they would have beaten the Titans, and people would say to me, hey, I mean, you guys beat a crappy team. Well, I'd be like, hey, at least we won. I mean, because let's be honest, there's no such thing as an easy game in the NFL, and the Falcons just keep finding ways to win, and they keep beating these teams. And it doesn't matter how it looks. Sometimes it's a blowout. Sometimes it's close. But the fact of the matter is they're finding ways to win the game, and that's really important because it's how it's going to make the difference at the end of the day between playoff team and Super Bowl contender and all those things.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm looking at NFL power rankings done by NFL.com. They have actually the same five teams we have. So, and I don't look at this when I do mine at all. So they have the Falcons at number one, like we have. They have the Texans at number two, like we have. They have the Giants at number three. We have the Giants at number five. They have the Ravens at number four. We have the Ravens at number three. And they have the Bears at five. We have the Bears at four. So they have the same, and they have the 49ers at six. So, and guess what? They have the Seahawks at seven. But anyway, so they have the same five teams. And, I mean, to me, if you have one undefeated team in the NFL, they're number one. I mean, it doesn't matter who they played. They can't control their schedule. They have won every game. And if they played five, six cupcakes, well, that's not their fault. You know, they're beating teams that they're supposed to be, as K-Star said. Train, any thoughts?
You can't really argue with. I think the rankings are pretty accurate. I mean, from all rankings to what the NFL has, and you have to put the Giants in there, whether they be 3, 4, or 5, you have to put them in there because of the performance over what we had, what we thought was pretty much the top ranked team in the NFL as of last week. Now, not in the top five rankings at all. So, but with you know with Atlanta, when you're 6-0, you're 6-0, regardless. I mean, I've watched their games, and like I said last week, the only thing I don't like about Atlanta is that they're not running the ball enough, but they're still undefeated. So, I mean, I guess if it's not broke, you know, don't fix it. But I still think they should run the ball more in order to be a team that's tough all around offensively.
Yeah, they will, but they're still winning, so.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. So, all right, we've got seven games to pick. I got to limit you guys to, like, you know, quick on the picks so that we can log off and get out of here. So, first game, Seahawks at the 49ers. Train.
I picked the Niners to win this division. I like the Niners at home. Seahawks are playing well. Good game, so I'm going to go with the Niners.
K-Star.
I'm going with the Niners, coming off a tough loss. I think it'll be a very competitive, low-scoring game, but I'm going to go with San Francisco here.
I agree. I got to go with the Niners. I think they're going to rebound back. I think Harbaugh is a good coach, and I think he knows they can't lose this game if they want to win the division. They just can't, so I'm going to go with the Niners. The Cardinals traveling to Minnesota to play the Vikings. K-Star.
I'm gonna go with the Vikings here. You know, they had a tough loss against Washington, and you know, Adrian Peterson, who had the top five, is absolutely, I think, still the best running back in football, and playing really good defensive ball. Christian Ponder is impressive as well. I'll go with Minnesota here.
Train.
My degree is yes, I like Minnesota at home. The Cards' offense, the quarterback situation, is still crazy, and Minnesota is just playing good ball. So Minnesota at home.
Yeah, I mean, Cobb is out for a while with some real nasty sounding injury, ribs detached from his sternum or something. It sounds real ugly. So he's going to be out for a while. I don't believe in Skelton, and I think the Cardinals are now starting to come back down to earth. Started off strong, but I think they're coming back down to earth. Like you said, running game, Vikings defense, I got to go with the Vikings. Skins traveling to New York to play the Giants, NFC East battle. I'm really happy because that means one of these teams, you know, if you look at the divisions, it's really funny. NFC West, you've got three teams at 4-2, one team at 3-3. NFC East, all teams are separated by, you have three teams with three losses and one team with two losses in the NFC East. And, of course, the AFC East, everybody's 3-3. So when we talk parity, it's unbelievable. But anyway, I'm glad that we're getting some division games because I need some of these teams to start losing. The way the Giants looked against the 49ers, I can't get that out of my head. They look like world beaters, and I think it's going to be a great game, but I think they're going to beat the Redskins. Train?
You said you got the Giants, T?
I got the Giants over the Redskins, yes.
Okay, good recording as well. Yeah, I'm going to have to roll with the Giants look unbelievable. I mean, if any team can slow, I'm not shut them down, but slow down RG3, I think it's the Giants defense. They got a really fast front four and a really good front four. I'm going to go with the Giants.
And let me add that the Giants are 0-2, lost to the Eagles and the Cowboys. They cannot go 0-3 if they want to win that division. Anyway, go ahead, A-Star.
Going with the Giants, I think Jason Pierre-Paul will be up to the task of trying to contain RG3. Big game, big divisional game. I got to go with the proven Giants here.
All right, game 4 out of 7. The Ravens, we've talked a lot about today. We didn't get to talk about Ray Lewis, but just quickly, we know he's out for the season with a torn triceps. And next show, we'll dig more into Ray Lewis. But they're 5-1, and they go to play the Texans in Houston, who's also 5-1. So two division leaders, Ravens at the Texans. K-Star, game of high importance in your world. Who do you got?
I am going with Houston. The Ravens' run defense has been porous as of late. It's about to get even worse. Maybe Nada not playing. Ray Lewis obviously out. Ladarius Webb, Andre Johnson should be going deep, and Arian Foster should run rampant through that second or through that run defense. They're going with Houston here.
Train.
Houston is at home, but most importantly is that Ravens' defense. I mean, that defense, if anything, helps to make it easier on the offensive level. Boy, not out. Lewis, Webb. Yeah, I
got
to go with
you. This is going to be a better game than people think because the Ravens' offense is better than it's been. And now with Ray Lewis out, and I'm not necessarily saying his physical presence will be missed, but certainly his emotional leadership will be missed. I think it'll be a better game than people think. Ray Rice and Anquan Boldin and, you know, I mean, these guys are going to come to play. And I think it's going to be a really good game. But Houston just lost, and I think they need this win right now. And not necessarily record-wise, they need this win. And after the way they were dissected. So I'm going to give the edge to Houston, but this is going to be a good game. Jets at the Patriots. Both teams are 3-3. K-Star.
Patriots, I expect them to win big. Coming off a tough loss, I think the Jets are fraudulent. They're a very soft 3-3 team, as soft as a 3-3 team can be. They're not going to be able to keep up with New England, as they should be able to put points on the board like they usually do in this matchup. New England big.
Train?
I'm definitely going to have to go with the Patriots on this one, man. I just don't think Jets have what it takes to beat the Patriots this year.
Yeah, Rex Ryan's already running his mouth, and that's just a kiss of death. They won't start Tim Tebow, won't even give him a significant role, and I don't get it because Sanchez is – I mean, yeah, he had a good game against the Colts, but, you know, they're still adjusting to their new quarterback, new coach, and new coach. I mean, their old coach obviously is, sick, and there's just a lot of problems in Indianapolis, so I can't give the Jets that much credit. I think the Patriots are going to stomp them, and particularly they're coming off a tough loss. I think they're going to stomp them. K-Stars, Pittsburgh Steelers in a must-win situation, as must-win as we're going to find in this week's games, traveling to Cincinnati to play the Bengals. Steelers 2-3, Bengals 3-3. Steelers' first division game for them. Bengals are 1-2 in the division already. K-Star, you get the honor of going first.
Again, we talked about this earlier. quarterbacks, great quarterbacks, willing their team to win games in which, you know, overcoming injuries, overcoming adversity, things of the magnitude. Big Ben's done this his whole career. We're going to need a game from the franchise quarterback Sunday night to pull out this win. A.J. Green is very scary. I'm very I'm looking forward to that matchup with him versus secondary with Troy Polamalu. But I think Big Ben has one of those games, one of his signature-type game-winning games to seal it for the Steelers. It's a very big game, and obviously we know the importance of it. Steelers usually come out on top in these situations.
Train?
Finally, we get a disagreement. I'm going to have to go with the Bengals. I think the defense is good enough to play against the Steelers' offense. I do give advantage to Steelers' offense, but most importantly, they're missing Troy Polamalu. I think it's going to be a field day for A.J. Green. So I'm going to go with Bengals.
I got to go with the Steelers. I think this is a huge game for them. They're a championship-caliber team with Ben and the guys that they do have. There's some Super Bowl champions on that team, and we know what Tomlin's going to bring. It is going to be in a hostile environment, but I just have a feeling that this is going to be one of those games. I got to agree with K-Star. Everything K-Star said in his game, I'm gonna agree with. Last game of the week. The resurgent Detroit Lions, who just upset the Philadelphia Eagles, thank you very much. 2-3, 0-1 in the division, traveling to Chicago to play the division leading Bears, who are also 0-1 in division, but 4-1 record wise. Train, it's your floor.
Now, oh my God, this is going to be a hostile game. This is possibly going to be a close game, possibly going to be a blowout. But either way, of course, I'm going to go with my Bears. But we have not won a division game. And if we plan on even winning the division and making it to the playoffs, it got to start here. We have to beat these Lions, man. I think we have the defense to rattle Matthew Stafford and keep the ball out of Calvin Johnson's hands. And I think with the addition of our boy Marshall, with Marshall Cutler connecting, I think our offense will do well this week, though. So. Bears.
K-Star?
Going with the Bears. Lions offensive line. Not extremely good at pass protection right now. Matthew Stafford is having an up-and-down year, mainly down. The Bears playing very good for defensive football, and I think that all they will need to do is run the ball, control the clock, and hit Brandon Marshall down the field a few times, and I think they'll be successful doing so. We'll go with Chicago.
We have a chat room prediction maybe meant to rile Train up. Lions will destroy the Bears 31-0. Steelers can't win on the road. Bengals will beat the Steelers. So there's something from Raul in the chat room. I will say that the Bears are home. They had a bye week. I don't believe in the Lions. I got to go with the Bears. So, all right, as the debate will be beginning in 3 minutes, I will not be allowing any closing statements. Won't be any on the debate either. So I will say thank you, Train. Thank you, K-Star. I'm going to mute you guys now. Thanks for a great show. Everybody, go watch the debate. Watch Romney and Aaron Rodgers. Oh, my God. Barack Obama and Mitt Romney go at it. It should be a great debate. And hopefully it'll be as good as you had on the Madden Voice tonight. Commissioner T will do a show Friday. Probably going to be a 1 o'clock show on Friday. But look for me to do a show on Friday. Follow up on some of the things we talked about tonight. Remember, listen to the Madden Voice, get educated, and remember, all feuds are settled on the field. Good night.